Good evening, everybody. Sorry about the delays. We're having a little bit of connectivity issues, but I think we're all set now. So, 6:08, I wanted to call the meeting to order. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So, before we get started, I just want to say a few words. As I was preparing for the meeting today, I was reflecting on the year mark of this COVID journey we've all been on, and no one could have predicted that we'd be in the middle of a pandemic when we went on our 2-week break nearly a year ago, hoping to come back and resume school shortly thereafter. But it's a year later, and I just wanted to take a minute to thank, you know, the entire Odyssey community for everyone's resilience and dedication to our amazing school. I want to thank our teachers and our administration and all our staff who have worked tirelessly over the last 12 months to help keep our OCS family strong and keep everybody together. In addition, you know, there have been many people that have stepped up and volunteered to support the school throughout the year. I want to recognize the tremendous efforts by our parents and students. So many people have given so much of their professional lives, and I want to thank them for that. But there's also been a lot of folks that have lost loved ones and tragedies throughout this process, so I do want to recognize that as well, too. And so I just want to personally just thank everybody and everyone for all your time, all your energy, all your hard work, and your unrelenting support of Odyssey Charter School. And you've helped us kind of stay the course, get to where we are now. I want to thank our new head of school, Elias Pappas, as well, too, for helping us kind of get the school started up again and getting us moving back in the direction of returning to some level of normalcy as we move towards bringing as many students as we can back into school, back into a regular routine, back into the education system. So just thank you all. Thank you for everything. I really appreciate everything that everyone has done across the entire OCS community to kind of get us to where we are today. So give you our appreciation. First order of business. Look up the agenda there.
Yeah, but she doesn't. Like, she won't wear it. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not
going to present. To approve last month's minutes.
Sorry,
just wanted to review and approve last month's minutes. Anybody have any comments, questions? Edits, does it look? Okay, unless we have any edits, does anybody have a motion to approve the minutes for posting? Next up, we have public comments at this point in the discussion. Val, I know you have pulling me. Do you have any anyone up for public comments for this session?
No one, can you hear me? Yep, no one has asked to speak. I did receive those two emails from folks, which I've forwarded to the board. I'm happy to read those comments out loud and into the record, so to speak, if that's what you'd like me to do.
Did they ask for the comments to be read into the record?
Yeah, this one, I'm fine for you to read it.
Okay, go ahead.
I am parent of two students at OCS. I want everyone to know how thankful I am for this school and how thankful I am to the staff and faculty for getting the school open this year. I know this year has called on us to all be flexible and understanding of everyone's situations. I would like to address two things. First, testing. This is not a discussion on whether testing is useful or not. However, parents have gotten a lot of direction and it has left us confused. First, we were told to get our children tested in March so they could return in April. Now we have gotten communication that says they must get tested after spring break to return to school in person. So which is it? Please remember that we parents are taking time away from our jobs to get our children tested, even if we do the school testing sites. Second, I would like to address the week after spring break. Less than a month before spring break, it has been announced that we are going 100% virtual the week after spring break. There is no medical reason for this. Parents are 100% aware of the risk we take sending our children to school, and we have signed up for in-person instruction. Every parent has the right to put their children in virtual schooling. We are open 4 days a week, so we should have the right as parents to decide if our kids are going in person the week after spring break. Parents have made plans. Parents have changed childcare. We have adapted to the hopeful March 29th change. I was told that the March 29th 4 day a week would be a soft open. This is not a soft opening if you are going to close the school for 2 weeks, 1 week break, and 1 week 100% virtual. You will not gain helpful data with only 1 week of 4 day instruction. Once we open 4 days a week, there is no reason to close an entire school to go virtual. Maybe worst case, a building if there was an outbreak. My children will now be changing their weekly schedules 5 weeks in a row. It will be hybrid. They will be 4 days of instruction for 1 week. They will be on spring break. They will be 100% virtual and then hopefully back to 4 days a week of instruction. That is 100% not in the best interest of a child when we have no medical reason to shut down to 100% virtual teaching. I've been told most of our teachers have been vaccinated and I have heard growing reports of low infection rates and all for what? So we can close the school when we are nervous that there might be a spike in cases. OCS has proven that we can do a great job even when facing a global pandemic. I don't know any other school shutting down to 100% virtual the week after spring break. Parents rely on schedules and have jobs that have to be part of this consideration. I beg of you to reconsider the option of closing the school to be 100% virtual the week after spring break. Require testing after returning from spring break, but let our children come back to school and get back to a routine. They need to be back in school. Parents can keep their students home if they would like, but parents should get to decide what is right for the children. Thank you for your time and consideration. That's from Carrie Bartkowski. And the second question is, my daughter was recently COVID tested at school during her school day, which I have no problem with. The staff that does the testing is very professional. My question is, why isn't some sort of notification coming home from school that my child was tested that day? If he hadn't told me, I would have been taking her for testing at one of the state's testing sites to have her test for the month on file. Thank you. And that's from Garrett Pernick. That's all I have.
Thanks, Val. And I think Mr. Pappas will be probably answering or addressing some of those comments in his high school report. So next up on the agenda is the head of school report. Jeff's okay with going after. You want to take the word for that?
I'm trying to listen. Did you cue me to start? Because I can't.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I can't really hear very well.
Multiple Zooms going on in one room, right. So it makes it a little confusing. But
okay. So welcome everybody. It's good to see you all, and I am. Stand proud before you today in our efforts to get our school reopen, and we're very happy with the progress that we made and how carefully and thoughtfully we've gone through the process to make sure that we return our students to school in a way that is as safe as possible and in a way that will benefit our community to the best that we possibly can. I have some important updates for us thus far. Number one, I can speak a little bit to the teacher vaccination program. So there were two large events. There was one large event this last weekend and another one this coming weekend. We sent a survey out to teachers and to staff to find out who has been vaccinated and to what level they've been vaccinated. We do not have that data available at this time. As of 15 minutes ago, I had 12 responses for vaccinations out of the hundreds of teachers that we have. So that is, that's a good start, but it certainly isn't somewhere where you could talk about herd immunity at this time. We will have more information coming forward in the coming weeks, and we'll be able to tell you where we are with that. We do want to thank our partners at the state level and the federal level who have assisted us in trying to get our teachers vaccinated. And we encourage all of those who do intend to get vaccinated to go ahead and sign up for those events. I know that some of our board members have been vaccinated as well. I was vaccinated this last weekend as well. We are in phase two of our campus testing. And as of the 15th, we have like a different levels that we've been able to do. The week of the first and the week of the eighth, we had zero positivity tests across all schools and campus events that we did. There have been this week cases of positivity. They have not come up in the data because we report the data at the end of every week. But there are positive cases this week. And thanks to our very effective system that we use for surveillance testing, we were able to pick up both cases due to our surveillance testing. And I think that that's a very, very important piece to highlight here. And to make sure that we emphasize moving forward that without the surveillance testing, something can go from very innocuous, so to speak, to the level that it's affecting one or two kids to something where you have an outbreak where an entire school has to shut down. We certainly don't want to be in a position like that. And so by taking these measures and then taking the contact tracing measures that we do thereafter, we are able to ensure a safe environment to the best of our abilities, according to the standards that we have in place for us. That's pretty much where I am on that part of the update. The high school, presently, we have two cohorts of students, total of 115 students that are attending. It makes up about 40% of our high school population. In-person attendance has increased as well, with 85 students attending on a 4-times-a-week basis, all seniors, students with IEPs, and students with 504s, and 60 attending in either cohort A or B. Are already here for the high school. This is a huge improvement. Overall, we have about 42% more students on campus as of March 8th, than we did before that. At the middle school, we've updated our cohorts to allow for special education students, students with a 504 plans, and English language learners to attend 4 times a week. We've continued with the two cohorts for the students attending in 6 through 8. In total, cohort 8 now consists of 172, which is 32% of the student body. Cohort B consists of 172, which is another 32% of the student body. In total, we have 344 students in the middle school attending, with an increase of 87 students overall. In the intermediate school, we have a total of 315 students back in the building, which is roughly 57% of our total intermediate school population. We've transitioned our special education students to 4 times per week. We look forward to welcoming even more of them back on the 29th, assuming that we are able to maintain a safe environment and low COVID rates. When I share out information in the coming days, you'll see the chart of where the county is and where the state is, and you can see what those thresholds are. We want to make sure that we stay well below those thresholds in order for us to continue with our reopening efforts. At the lower school, all cohorts and all grade levels K-2 have returned for in-person instruction, with approximately 54% of the total K-2 grade band registered to return for in-person instruction. That's 296 out of 552. Special education students have the option to attend 4 days per week of in-person instruction, and we will be extending this option to all students on March 29th. Again, I would like to remind everybody that that is pending the COVID testing results that we have up through March 22nd. I think it's critical that I keep highlighting that, because if we do have a spike in our COVID cases and we are in a situation where we cannot do that at that time, then we will look at a reopening on April 26th, as was indicated in the letter that was sent home about where we're headed. Let me see, can I scroll from this? I can just do it on my own. I don't need to look at the Zoom screen for this. I'm fine, here we go. I just had to go to back to my document as well. Okay, that's what I have for that particular part of where we are in the reopening process for the COVID part one. For COVID part two, testing is available for all staff on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday in the school buildings. A survey for phase four will be sent out after spring break, and students will be able to return from 4/26 to the end of the year. I want to emphasize that that will be our final survey that we'll send out. We encourage people that want to come back at that point so that we can make the final adjustments. Our campus, all our campus students will be required to provide a COVID test result, at least one per month. That's what we're currently doing. I know that there was a suggestion in the public comments about a shift from that. The shift from that is very strategic. We know very well of families that are traveling out of the state, and we also know of staff that's traveling out of the state. With that being the case, in order to provide the safe environment for a return, we do need to have a COVID test for all people that want to return after a break that's that long. Systematically, we have four BD Verder testing machines that we can use. So that is the limit of our capacity that we can possibly do. So even if 50 or 60% of the students were to come back, it would still take us 3 to 4 days to be able to get through all the testing in order for us to be able to make sure that we can bring kids back safely. So the reason for having that virtual week is there so that we will be able to test everybody effectively and have a good idea of what we can do moving forward and what the impact is of any things that happened over spring break. The implications of the recent updates to guidelines, new research, and our testing data have allowed for us to expand, obviously, our reopening. I've already mentioned that it's 42% of an increase in that. And an abundance of caution, because we have already been informed, again, of the travel plans, we will go virtual that particular week. This policy is consistent with several state guidelines of quarantine periods after the return from out-of-state travel. We also will require an updated negative COVID test in order to return. A letter highlighting all this information was sent out to families. It's linked over here. It should have already gone out. If you need another copy, contact your school administration, and they will be able to send out another copy to you. Parent surveys will be sent out on March 19th for return date, about a potential return date for in-person for K through 8 on the 26th. There is also some new data available for us. I have put the links over here. It's a New York Times article, but it's referencing like a large survey that was done on Massachusetts schools, urban schools in Massachusetts, a comprehensive study that did use three foot social distancing. And I also linked Dr. Fauci's most recent remarks about physical distancing so that we can take a look at those at a later time and see that it is possible to reduce the distancing in the classrooms and still have a safe environment, assuming that we follow all the other PPE protocols. So we will be looking to that, but most importantly, we'll be looking at our own data, and that's the most important thing that we use. And that's what I wrote down over here. After that, we will be using our testing data through March 22nd to make the final determination about an expanded reopening on the 29th. Our final survey, once again, will be sent out on April 12th for a potential expansion of reopening on April 26th. Moving past the COVID agendas, our flagpole initiative and fundraising. So the Buy a Brick flagpole fundraiser has officially launched. Our goal is to raise upwards of $80,000. The bricks can have the names of family members or graduating classes or a message that you have. We encourage you not only to be a part of the history individually, but also to reach out to local businesses that you know and other agencies that would be interested in being a permanent part of our history. I've also linked the Buy a Brick fundraiser over here in the executive summary. Remember, my executive summaries do go out to all stakeholders, so you can find them on the website, and we also blast it out on Blackboard, so you'll be able to reference this document later on. Moving on, following our meeting with consultants, we have started to build a new infrastructure for fundraising, and thanks to our IT department and the collective efforts that we've put together, we're building our capacity for a coordinated fundraising effort in the future through our new database that we were just creating. It's a cloud-based system, and it's in its final stages of construction. So we'll be able to increase our capacities as a result of that as well. In terms of our culture focus, the gradebook policies have undergone two levels of revision for the middle school and the high school, and are now beginning to be implemented. The new policies kind of enhance our school's ability to target individual learning needs for students and provide targeted support for high stakes testing like SAT, ACT, and the SBAC. And we are going to be doing a parent education workshop event about the grading system. in April following spring break. I apologize for the typo here. I think I put April 12th, but following spring break would be the week of April 19th. OCS has also continued its fourth dimension diversity, equity, and inclusion work. We have completed two of the six trainings thus far as a leadership team. And as I continue to work to meet with stakeholders, we've conducted meet and greets with families, the most recent being on March 11th, featuring Dr. DeMeo and some of our school support team. Over 50 families attended, and it was a wonderful opportunity to connect. Another one is coming in April, so please do look for that communication, as that was a great opportunity for all of us to connect. I'm also conducting one-on-one meet and greets with faculty and staff, the first of which occurred today. I did get a chance to meet with several faculty and staff members today, one-on-one, to hear a little bit about their passions and their goals and what they'd like to see us do at Odyssey Charter moving forward. I really enjoyed all of my rich conversations with all the faculty and staff, and am completely energized by the enthusiasm that I found from all of our staff. More opportunities are coming in the following weeks on Wednesdays as well. I'll continue to open up time slots every Wednesday until we can get to as many people as we possibly can. Our efforts to increase communication across the schools has also increased, as we're using operations updates during staff meetings now. And in that, basically, we have the point people for specific parts of our operations going into our staff meetings and providing updates to our staff about what's going on and what moving parts exist at that level. And it's really helping with transparency and communication across all buildings. OCS is working to build out some community level events, as we have several celebrations coming up. This year marks the bicentennial anniversary of Greek independence, so Odyssey Charter is planning an ongoing series of events to commemorate it, with a significant series occurring on March 25th itself. There's some on March 23rd as well. The event will include a ceremony at the mayor's office, with our school participating both live and through Zoom. We will send out information for parent viewing as it becomes available to us. As I mentioned last month, we will be celebrating the promotion of our students as well in K-5, 8, and 12. That means we'll be hosting four graduations as well this spring. The dates are set for the first two weekends of June, so look for updates from the school deans on that. Our PTO, as we mentioned before, is starting a student store. The room where they're starting the student store has been cleared out for them. It's in the process of updating. They're in the process of updating all of the supplies that they're going to be offering. And you can contact Ms. Miller for information about that moving forward. Moving on to our high school. Actually, let me see if I want to do that. Yeah, I think this is a good time to do it. Okay, so moving on to our high school. I would really like to take this opportunity to kind of highlight some of the wonderful things that are happening in our high school. First of all, just some basic information over here. There were 183 applications, total applications submitted as of 3/15. The percent of the class of 2021 applying to at least one school is up to 71%. 30% of students have reported merit scholarship and grant awards totaling over $1.13 million. This is a 21% increase over the last 3.5 weeks. FAFSA completion rate has risen to 62%, and we are now represented in 12 different states. Today, we hosted our first Step Up Day, where eighth grade students who have accepted invitations to our high school had the opportunity to learn a little bit more about our high school and actually go in there and interact with some of our high school in performing arts and STEM and athletics and student council and Greek and foreign language, ninth grade academics, the green team, and they had a lunch that was catered for them as well. Our invitations have obviously been gone out for the first set, and we are getting set to send out the second set. But at that's kind of where I want to stop on that update. I kind of want to move to something else. I have some really exciting things to kind of recognize. And for this part, I'm going to actually turn it over to our high school principal, Miss Ashley Lipson, who's going to announce some very, very positive news. And then I'm going to turn it over, she's going to turn it over to somebody else. And we also have a guest student speaker who's going to address us today as well. Let me see.
Here we go. So good evening, everyone. I am excited to share with you today and introduce you to Miss Jackie Brandt. Miss Brandt, along with Miss Halima, advise our BPA, our Business Professionals of America Club here at the high school level. And they had a wonderful showing at our state leadership conference this past month. And they are going to talk, Ms. Brandt is going to talk a little bit about all the students that won. And congratulations to all of our students. We also have our state winner for State Student of the Year, BPA Student of the Year, Nidhi Patel, who will be speaking as well. Congratulations.
Thank you, Ms. Lipson. Thank you, Mr. Pappas. I appreciate the opportunity as well as the BPA members today to be here and be recognized for all of their wonderful accomplishments. So we competed virtually this year in our BPA State Leadership Conference that was held on February 26th. And our chapter, they competed in various business and career-oriented events with other high schools throughout the state of Delaware. The National Leadership Conference is coming up in May, and the following students have been recognized for their outstanding achievement in their individual and their team events and will then be going on to their national competition in May. So we want to wish all of them very well in that upcoming events. So the next set, the following students that we're going to recognize first received outstanding achievement in an individual event that they competed in. We have Nidhi Patel. She earned first place in health administration procedures and also BPA Student of the Year. Sevier Ganta, he earned third place in banking and finance and third place in personal finance management. Mitchell Smith earned first place in personal finance management and sixth place in banking and finance. Nitya Patel earned second place in payroll accounting and sixth place in interview skills. Jagar Patel earned seventh place in banking and finance. Samreen Ahmad earned fourth place in intermediate word processing. Jennifer Choi earned 10th place in business law and ethics. And then the following students were recognized for their outstanding achievement in a team event. Millie Desai, Charlotte Walder, and Nidhi Patel earned third place for presentation management. Our group also was recognized the following students who received the Diplomat and the Statesman's Honors for the BPA Torch Service Awards, which is showing dedication to our community. And those students were Millie Desai, Nidhi Patel, Charlotte Walder, Nitya Patel, and Elena Balkaran. And the following students also competed, completed the BPA Student Certification Series, which was an expansion of their knowledge of BPA through different classes that they took. That was Nidhi Patel and Nitya Patel. And then finally, our 2020-21 BPA members and advisors are, of course, are their president, Nidhi Patel. Nidhi also served as our Delaware State BPA secretary for the entire state of Delaware. Vice president was Millie Desai. Secretary is Charlotte Walder. Our treasurer is Harshita Dalta. Parliamentarian is Elena Balkaran. Historian is Nitya Patel. And then general members are Sevier Ganta, Jagar Patel, Mitchell Smith, Khalees Boyd, Jennifer Choi, Samreen Hamad, and Mrs. Jackie Brandt and Ms. Sani Halima are the advisors. And congratulations to all of our high school members and their advisors for all their hard work and dedication throughout the year. Now, Nidhi Patel has some words that she would like to share with you as well.
Thank you, Ms. Brandt. I would like to first begin today by thanking all board members, administration, teachers, staff for all their efforts for making this year the best we can for the entire student body. Through these unprecedented times, it has been extremely difficult to manage and succeed, but by working together, we have been able as a school and community to rise up to challenges with determination, care, and hope. My name is Nidhi Patel, and I'm currently a senior here at Odyssey. And as Ms. Brandt said, I've been serving as the Delaware BPA State Secretary for two consecutive years and serving as the local chapter president for three consecutive years. As with all the successful organizations, it takes many individuals working together to ensure that Business Professionals of America is an outstanding organization and technical student organization that serves all of its students to the best of their ability. I would like to specifically thank Ms. Jackie Brandt, Ms. Sani Halima, High School BP Advisors, Ms. Adina Buscon, and Mrs. Jacqueline Short, Middle Level BP Advisors, for continuing to push our membership to move forward with the best of their ability. Without all of our advisors, Odyssey Charter would have never been able to achieve all of our club's amazing accomplishments. As I graduate this year and move on to the next phase of my life and conclude my 7-year BPA journey, I am forever grateful for Odyssey administration, teachers, parents, and guardians, and board members for allowing me the opportunity, and along with other BPA students, to shine as an Odyssey Owl. Thank you all.
Thank you, Nitty and Mrs. Brandt, for your words tonight. Back to you, Mr. Pappas.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I also want to make sure that we recognize our Business Professionals of America chapter in the middle school as well, and some of their accomplishments. As you can imagine, this is a program that has definitely rooted itself all the way through the middle school into the high school. And Jailani Agostini earned second place in financial literacy. Aria Gupta acquired first place in spreadsheet applications and second in keyboarding. Isabella Mendoza earned fifth place in spreadsheet applications. Hassini Butluri earned first place in entrepreneurship explorations, fourth in business communication skills, and fourth in business math concepts. Martin Sied earned fourth place in computer literacy concepts. Navia Varagandigam, pardon my pronunciations here if I'm making mistakes, obtained third place in business communication skills concepts. And the team of events, web design team first place winners, Parishna Datla, Asvika Gobanathan, Sahasra Mudunuri, and Subishka Srinivasan Vidyal. Well, we also are honored to say that both of our presentation management teams placed in first place, Sahaj Amin, Isabella Mendoza, and Brianna Saxton. In second place, Jailani Agusti, Ruth Donahue, and Martin Sied. Huge shout out to the students who participated, Rishika Ala, Ruth Donahue, Asvika Gobananathan, Arya Gupta, Hassani Potluri, Isha Sagiraju, and Subikshka Srinivasan Vidya. So thank you to all of you for that. We definitely applaud all of your efforts. What an amazing accomplishment for the school, and what an amazing accomplishment by these students, and a representation of all the wonderful things that this community has been working so hard to achieve. So I applaud you all. Congratulations once again from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for representing the Owls like this. And this is only the beginning. Here come the Owls, look out. Okay, moving on. Update on school priorities. I have to get out of this one because this document scrolls at a different speed as the one that I'm looking at. Okay, here we go. So number one, student services vision has been set. Each student, including students with disabilities, students receiving 504 services, and students who receive English language services will be treated as a unique individual and shall receive appropriate inclusive education through the use of research-based practices. The students will have the opportunity within the learning environments to acquire skills and receive supports related to the academic and social-emotional learning. This will be accomplished through the collaboration between all stakeholders of the student, including educators, administrators, and families. For recovery services, for students receiving special education services, teachers are collecting 8 to 10 weeks of data on their goals to determine if they are making progress toward each of the specific goals. If a student has not made the progress due to learning loss from the pandemic shutdown, students will receive recovery services for the specific goal they did not make adequate progress in. There will be more information coming as to what the recovery services will look like and when it will take place. In terms of our audit, we submitted all of our documents last month, and this is the week that we actually are having the audit. The DOE is going to be reviewing a percentage of our special education students' audit information to determine our areas of strength and need. I'm currently working on putting together the professional development opportunities via Schoology for teachers to access the state standards-based IEP initiatives. That's actually I being Dr. Stephanie DeMeo, not me specifically, but I do work in conjunction with her on that. Specifically on parents with students who have disabilities council, which is the council that we're trying to put together right now for students who have disabilities. This will include students receiving support through our one IEPs or 504s, so that we are hoping for a meeting this May and then quarterly thereafter. Moving on, in diversity, equity, inclusion, we already talked about the fact that we had our second session. We have revised the attendance policy, and it's in its final revisions right now. The focus is on supporting families in the maximum capacity that we can by pooling our resources and shifting our overall approach to making sure that we are trying to problem solve students who could be chronically absent in terms of why is that happening. We already talked about the upgraded grading policy as well. In terms of stakeholder communication updates, my monthly communications have gone out the first 2 months as I promised. And they are posted to the website. So they come out the first week. Parent, student, and staff surveys will be conducted by a nationally normed independent company, like I mentioned in the last meeting. We are currently looking at the vendors, but like I said, we're obtaining a quote from Panorama Education for that. These will be anonymous surveys, and they'll focus on school culture, climate, and safety. So we'll use this data to drive our future decision making. I am now going to turn it over to our business office, Jeff, for a financial update.
Thanks, Elias. Good evening, board. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy early Greek Independence Day, since I won't be seeing you guys before then. So I'm going to roll through a couple items tonight. We're going to talk about the final 2021 budget, and then the February monthly report. On March 2nd, the Finance Committee got together to discuss the final 2021 budget in detail. For a little background, preliminary budgets are put together in July, in this case, in this year, during a pandemic, September. And that's usually based on knowing that the figures will change upon the unit count taking place on September 30th, or in this case, in this year's case, November 13th. From there, the state does a final loading of the amount that you earn on a revenue basis to be received either in January or early February. And then from there, you have an idea of what your revenue and expenses look like for the rest of the year. And a final budget is put together to just true up the figures with sort of the programmatic needs and where the student count landed. This final budget assumed I'm actually going to pull up a summary view. As I mentioned, the details were discussed with the Finance Committee meeting. So after I go over the summary, I believe the Finance Committee will recommend the approval from the board on the final budget, and then we'll move on to the monthly report. Some of the main changes in the final budget from the preliminary budget. On the revenue side, we're looking at an additional almost $400,000 of state funding, of which minor changes in unit allocations and adjustment to staff employment history led to about a $350,000 increase from the preliminary budget. On the local level, it's a decrease of about $550,000. A majority of that decrease is related to our variable volume programs, such as cafeteria, aftercare, and and a little tweak on the rent proceeds. So from cafeteria, the original budget spoke to $853,000, but that was also prior to former President Trump approving the free lunch program through June 30. So of that $853,000, $128,000 was attributable to parent payments, so that's been removed. And just for a little color, the preliminary budget was based on serving an average of 35,000 meals per month for both Odyssey and Academia combined. And based on where the actual numbers we've seen in January and February, the average meals per month combined was reduced to about 13,000. So it's just, it's essentially been cut in a third. But there is offsetting expense savings at the same time because of the variable nature of those programs. Similar, aftercare revenue was initially preliminary budgeted at just half of what a normal year would be, but we had reduced that further to based on where the current enrollment is, while allowing for a growth of 20% increase as cohorts do increase over time. The federal piece increased by about 870,000. That's 100% attributable to the ESSER II grant, the CARES Act Round 2 funding. And all the associated expenses have been added to the budget in the various operating units across the board. On the expense side, on the school operations, the salary projected forward was based on the February 12th pay cycle with minor adjustments, allowing for degree changes and other potential items. Travel was reduced due to the pandemic. We did have some increased corrections on some of our consultants that were not properly accounted for in the preliminary budget. As I mentioned, all of the ESSER round two expenses are also included in this budget. So temporary employment services increased by about 240,000, majority of which is covered by the COVID grant. Other small changes across the board and some reclasses between expenditures to true them up to where they actually were being expended to. In athletics, we decreased the coaching EPIR to reflect the fall, winter, and spring offerings, decreased other costs 20% to reduce officials and transportation needs. Food service, as I mentioned, the personnel was reduced by about $200,000 as volume currently requires 10 part-time staff where normally we're operating around 18. The purchase of food is volume-based, and as production of meals was reduced, the food expense followed suit. In facilities, there was increases in contracted services, materials and supplies, and capital costs, all of which were covered by the COVID grant or other category efficiencies. On the transportation side, we had some decreases in personnel costs from reduced need for some of the part-time staff and some mid-year attrition of full-time staff. Some efficiencies in equipment repair account for savings in contractual services, and the added capital costs include purchase of GPS devices in all buses. IT had a macro level expenditure increase associated with the added revenue from the COVID grant, and I already kind of talked about aftercare. So speaking generally, there may be some additional costs incurred if and when the school increases in-person instruction. The cost will be determined by how many families opt to choose in-person learning and transportation and what protocols for COVID will be necessary. This final budget projects an ended cash balance before spending any of the state required contingency would be about $4.5 million, and the budget represents a net income of $145,000, an $836,000 increase from the revised preliminary budget. This budget, as I mentioned, assumes 100% spend on federal funds. However, any balance of federal funds carried into the next fiscal year will be considered restricted cash within the ending cash balance. Some potential increases of revenue that we may see between now and the end of the year, and actually some of which I did capture in the February projection, and I'll mention that. There's state revenue from the square footage increase of building 23 that was approved by the state. Then that is gonna be prorated this year to about 75,000, but we can expect close to double that in the out years. If there's any deferred rent that we may be able to receive from our St. Thomas tenant, fundraising efforts such as the Brick Project, and potentially ESSER round three. So based on the stimulus package that the Senate passed last week, there are early reports that the amount that the schools in Delaware receive will be about double what they received as a part of ESSER round two, but we haven't been given the actual details on that. Any questions? I don't know if someone from the finance committee wants to make a recommendation at this time.
I don't have any questions for Jeff on any of the finance reports. Okay, do we have a motion to approve?
Yeah, I move we approve the report as presented.
Ken moves to approve. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Aaron seconds. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so that passes.
All right, so I'll move on now to the February monthly report. The noteworthy items on that I kind of discussed in the final budget process, but I'll roll through. To date, we've received just shy of $32 million. Which is 99% of the budget, the preliminary budget. So going forward in the next month board meeting, I will base it on the final budget that was approved. So that'll look a little bit different. Revenues received during February. We had the final load of state operations prior to any other adjustments. Some other minor state funding. Because of timing, we had 2 months of rent proceeds in there. And we did receive the full allocation of the ESSER II grant of the $873,000. On the expenditure side, we're trending right on target. Expenditures to date are just shy of $20 million, which represents 66% of the budget. And as this monthly report is through February 28th, that represents 67% of the fiscal year. So I mentioned this includes the additional $76,000 expected for state operations revenue for the square footage approval of the Building 23 expansion. This projection also includes a small loan payoff of a WSFS loan that we have for the St. Thomas property. The balance remaining on that is approximately $60,000, and we would be expected to pay it down over the next 26 months. This payoff allows for current and future WSFS debt service coverage covenants to be satisfied. Original budgeted amount for debt payments was slightly higher than the actual costs were coming in. So the net impact to the cash balance after the adjustments is approximately $25,000 in this current year, and future interest and payment savings in the out years. I mentioned that we received the ESSER II funding. And any adjustments in volume variable programming that I explained in the final budget, I'll continue to update in the monthly report projections. Right now, projections are currently showing a positive variance to the preliminary budget for approximately $893,000 and the projected year-end cash on hand of $4.5 million. The projections include a total spend down of federal funds, which, as I mentioned, will be unlikely be the case. Cash basis investors report projects a 1.52 debt coverage ratio. And the requirement is 1.1 and 64 days estimated cash on hand, and the covenant is 60 days at year end. Any questions on that?
Jeff, was there any prepay penalty on the WSFS when they're paying down?
No, they actually, they asked us to do it. So no prepayment penalty.
Great, those are strong covenant numbers.
Yeah, and I think we'll, as I mentioned, I think our actual cash on hand when we get to year end will be significantly higher, especially with some of these federal grants. And so that's why it'll be important to really parse through which of that cash balance is restricted or not, because we do back out the restricted cash for the reports that we do for the bondholders. So,
Just a quick question, sort of like roughly 19 million on expenditures to date with a projection of 29 million. Do you think we're gonna come in right at projections, or do you think we might come in a little under projections for the expenditures?
I do think that the final budget was conservative. With this being such a complex year, it's kind of hard to predict what the future may hold, but I would expect that we would probably come in under, and especially what happens with ESSER III, I would expect at least with ESSER II that we'll come under the amount that we have received to date on that. So that's allowed to be spent through September 30th of 2023. So there's not a major rush to use that. And we want to make sure that, to date, the funds that have been spent for that are really the best ways to have the school reopen in a safe capacity. But as we move forward, I think some of the priority will not shift from there, but we'll also include some of the educational recovery services and things to really, assist with any learning loss that's happened over the last year.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Yep. And so if you guys want to propose a vote on the monthly report, we'll get that posted to the website tomorrow.
Any other questions for Jeff on the monthly report from anyone? Okay, motion to approve the monthly report.
I so move.
I'll second.
And Marianne, a second. Any discussions? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so the monthly report posted on the website.
Thanks, everyone. And I do have to hop off, but if any other questions arise, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'll see you all next month.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care.
Good job, Jeff. Thanks.
Yes, I apologize. We went a little bit out of order. We wanted to circle back and hit Marina up for any updates on the Greek program.
Okay. So we are approaching the end of the school year, and this means that we are also preparing for the Ellinomathi exams and the Kangaroo math competition in Greek. So this year, the Ellinomathi exams will be held in May, and the registration period is until March 21st. We are expecting about 20 MS middle school students to register for the exams. So we have already started preparing, and we are serving our candidates' needs by offering free Ellinomathi preparatory classes on Wednesdays. These classes are taught by Kyriakoula Micha, Georgia Nicolaou, and Ioanna Lekakou. The Kangaroo competition, which is an international math and logic competition in Greek, is going to take place on May 22nd this year, virtually again. 52 second, third, and fourth graders will be participating. The Greek math and Greek immersion teachers have started helping those students on practice problems. Every Wednesday they meet through Zoom meetings. And we are very happy to say that many of those contestants are returning students, but some are new to Odyssey, of course new to the Greek language. So we're looking forward to their participation and successful results. And finally, we are gearing up for the celebration of the bicentennial anniversary of Greek independence. Festive activities will include parades, Greek dancing, as you know, a presentation made by a guest speaker, Dr. Fevronia Soumakis from Queen's College, Kouni. Students, kids, but also a couple of surprises for our students and teachers. In order to give the opportunity to all students, cohort A and B, to participate in the events, activities have been scheduled for both Tuesday, 23rd and Thursday, 25th of March. Students of cohort C will have the chance to watch all the events from home via Zoom. Thank you.
Thank you, Marina. Any questions for Marina? Okay, thank you. Great work, Marina. Evan, are you up? Do you have any reports on the Citizens Budget Oversight Committee?
There is no report this evening.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next up are committee reports. Start off with diversity, equity, and inclusion. Ellen, Marianne, any updates on that?
Hi. So our only update is that we are having a meeting on our next, we've been meeting consistently now. Our next meeting will be April 13th. It should be posted on the website. We'll double check that today. Our last meeting that we had in March was attended by some new faces. We're hoping to get some students, more parents, and of course, more of the staff in the building involved in our diversity, equity, and inclusion committee. So I know that it's posted on the Schoology site, on the webpage. We're just asking that anyone that is interested send a note and we will get you the link. To be able to join. It is a lot of work that we are charging ourselves with at this point. We definitely want to tackle some of the major issues that are coming out and that need to be addressed. And we need more hands on deck to be able to help with that work. So as Elias Pappas has indicated, you know, we do have our EPP professionals going through, the board members and all the administration in the building have participated in several of the trainings with for diversity and equity and inclusion with Fourth Dimension. So we just want to continue on with that work, and we're asking anyone that wants to join at this point to you know, let us know. We want to get them involved in what we're trying to do. So that's our update.
And I want to add to that branch of our D&I committee is the staff development subcommittee, which led by Abby Robinson has already started to have meaningful conversations during faculty meetings and most recently PLC meetings. Also for our next in-service, we were fortunate enough to be able to book Principal L, who is the principal of Thomas Edison Charter School locally, but he's renowned nationally and internationally as an inspirational speaker. And Marianne was able to make that connection for us. So if Marianne would be able to say a few things about him, I would appreciate it.
Thank you, Eva. So Principal L is an educator. Can you guys hear me? Okay. Yeah, so Principal L is a renowned teacher and an educator principal who travels around the country to give lots of talks to people, and he's very inspirational. He started off as a chess coach, but then he went on to, he used that as a medium to bring about change. And he's written a couple of really good books like The Immortality of Influence and I Choose to Stay, A Black Teacher Refuses to Desert the Inner City. Both are really good reads. He's gone on to write, I think, co-author three more books after those two. But we're very fortunate to get him to come and speak to us in April. I think one of the books Disney is doing a movie on right now is working to make it into a movie. He talks a lot about race issues and empowering people and just, you know, having you reach your potential. So I hope it'll be a good one for the staff.
Thank you, Marianne. That's going to be on April 30th.
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Noel. Great news and great work by the committee and everybody involved in pushing that forward. It's a much needed area that we need to start really moving out on. So thank you for all your work on that. Immersion committee, Anna Marie, anything? Any updates?
Dr. Marina pretty much outlined what the plans are for the Greek Independence Day celebrations for the 200th anniversary. We have some exciting programs that they're ready for that week. Our committee meets every other Wednesday. Our next meeting is next Wednesday, the 24th. So if you'd like to join us, our information is on the website. A lot of our conversation revolves around how we can incorporate the Greek and the American programs together so we can have a more cohesive and unified program so everyone can work together and understand each other's process and each other's programs. So we welcome all, and we look forward to everyone's input. And Zito Yelada, we'll see everyone during the 25th of March celebrations. And that's my little voice in the background.
Thank you, Anna Marie. Next up, fundraising committee, Georgia or Marianne, any updates?
The updates for the fundraising committee, basically, we're looking to come up with a system that will put together all the information we have so far on fundraising. We're also looking towards how to support the flagpole initiative right now. So, we had Carl had volunteered to do this capacity development project. So we're gonna just continue with those conversations and see how to move ahead in the next couple of months. And that's it.
Thank you, Marianne. Any other comments from anyone, any groups that they're working in? Yeah, I just want to see if there are any other committee or subcommittee reports. Okay, thank you. PTO report.
Thanks, Elias. So the PTO is working collaboratively with the school to put up the flagpoles and do the brick pavers. Initially, we rolled out the brick pavers to be done in front of Building 21 first with a single website. And as of Friday, we will have four separate websites which will accommodate each building. So the parents in each building will be able to purchase the bricks for their building as we go forward. We're also implementing our school store. We're in the process of working on that, and we will get more details out to the family as we progress. Book fair is going to be at the school from April 19th to April 30th, and schedules will be coming out to the teachers for in-class students, and we will also have a virtual schedule for our students at home. That's it.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Kaya. Next up, new business. Do we have any new business to discuss? Any board members with any new business? No, okay. Go to the school. Perhaps anything for a go to the school? No, covered it all in your head of school report. Okay.
Well, I do. If I can just say, it's nice to see all the positive remarks in the chat. I think our school has taken a nice turn, and we're moving forward. And we're, I think, with Elias Pappas, he's been making some good strides to try to reach out to people. So it's very encouraging to see all the positivity that's been around the school.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Barring any other comments, we don't have anything to discuss in executive session this week. So that concludes our meeting. So we have a motion to adjourn. Paul has a motion to adjourn. Do we have a second?
Oh, is this like a record?
Yes.
Any discussions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so motion is this adjourned 7:09. We can go back to 4-hour meetings if you want.
No.
That's only in person. Yeah, that's only in person.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody. Great work. If anybody has any questions, like I said, you can email us or contact us. But have a great night and a great St. Patrick's Day, too.
Thank you all for your input, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.